As of Tuesday, when I recorded this sermon, I learned on the radio that there were more than 230 deaths and counting. And sad to say, another storm or hurricane is fast approaching. And as this will be aired on Sunday morning, hopefully it doesn't hit, but that's what they're saying on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, as this will air Sunday morning. So I'm saying this because what are we doing about it? There are a lot of our fellow countrymen in very bad need. Of course, we need to pray for all the families that have lost loved ones and the families that are in dire straits, having lost their home and needing basics to survive. And many people are still stuck in places that's hard to get to. So our response is not only through prayer to God for His providential care, but of course financial help to the right people who are seeing that it's distributed properly. Congregations of the Lord's Church that are overseeing these funds, as we learn about them, we need to respond and send people to help that are capable of doing the necessary things that will certainly benefit all those in that area. So let's do the best we can, as we know that we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. But notice, that's the first and great commandment. What the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we don't want to wait on the government to respond. We want to do what we can as fellow countrymen. So with that in mind, I thought a good sermon for this morning would be love, a gift from God. As our text, I want us to go to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Now this follows the works of the flesh, starting in verse 19. And then you get to verse 22, but here's the contrast. The fruit, singular, notice that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is agape love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this is the type of love, this agape love, that's a characteristic of deity, since God is love. 1 John 4:8. But notice, it's also a gift from God, which allows us to become more Christ-like by conforming our will to God's will. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The English word love can refer to a number of types of love, we could say. Of course, the true biblical form of love, as our study is about, agape love, that's the top of the list. But then there's natural family love, friendship love, infatuation. People talk about falling in love, but that's an infatuated situation. And unfortunately, we need to mention even lust. So our English word conveys a number of things, or it can. And notice that adultery and fornication are at the top of the list of the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19 through 21. But that stands in a sharp contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. And in the Greek language, you have different words for love. Eros, love of passion, but that's never used in the New Testament. Storge, love of parents and children. Philia, phileo, warm love of friendship and brotherly love. And then, of course, agape, the noun form agapu and the verb form, the highest form of love in God's Word. So, let's study this morning. Love, a gift from God. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. PFE is a good way to remember what we need to be doing every day. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we are wanting to study God's precious Word. As we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you want to set up one, please let us know. We'll do that at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. So again, you can write to us, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get to our study this morning, Love, a Gift from God. And we'll note here, again, with our text, we see that the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, and being singular would indicate that all these traits are joined together. Yes. And it shows us how to live godly, right with Christ in His church, and praising our Heavenly Father as we are right with certainly one another. And we're looking upward, doing the will of God and praying for God's providence to be in our lives, and praying for others, especially at a time like this. And we pray for the church, of course, always, and for the lost to have an opportunity to seek God. We're wanting to live soberly and righteously in God's eyes. And so we're looking inward as to see if we are doing what we can as we are, you know, getting these traits into our life. So our study is to help us to be sure that we're receiving God's gift of love by submitting to His will. And so let's start out with, what is the biblical definition of agape love? And in answering this question, we must first start with this eternal truth: God is love, and love is of God. And certainly that's pointed out in 1 John 4:7-8. Yes, we're to love one another. If we're not loving one another, certainly we don't have the love of God. And God is not in us. No, and we're not in God in that sense of submitting to His will. So let's be clear about that. God is love. He's the very essence of agape love. And without God, there would be no agape love. Period. Now, everything that God does or does not do is proof of His supreme love. I want to demonstrate that. Number one, by creating all things, yes, including you and I as man, created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, and all that we need to support our life here on the earth, that is evidence, and that's a demonstration of God's love, is it not? Number two, by His plan of redemption, which started from the beginning, before the foundation of the earth was laid. And of course, that includes the preparing of heaven for the safe, the ones who died in their mother's womb, and the little children that have been lives snuffed out early, unaccountable, the mentally impaired that are not accountable. That's the safe when they die in the arms of the Lord. And of course, the saved, which means those who have obeyed the gospel and remain faithful even unto death. And so the plan of redemption includes, of course, the greatest gift of all, the eternal second person of the Godhead. By the grace of God, the Father, the Word became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. That's evidence that needs to be shouted from the rooftop. That's demonstrating God's supreme love, agape love we're talking about. Number three, God gave us the Holy Bible to guide us in this life and to prepare us for eternity in heaven with the Godhead three, with the angels, all the faithful in the Lord's church, and all the safe, the unaccountable, as we mentioned before. Number four, God has demonstrated His love by His continual, general, and special providential care, which includes His disciplining His children. Parents that love their children discipline them. Providential care. The unjust receives the general providence, the sunshine and the rain and so forth, but the special providential care is for those in Christ where all spiritual blessings are. But let's go on. Number five, as we talked about the plan of redemption, God's grace is a gift. We must do something to obtain that gift, of course, but we still need to recognize the grace of God in giving us what we do not deserve, salvation from our sins through Christ. But number five, and by His mercy in not giving us what we deserve. So notice the difference between God's grace and mercy. Giving us what we do not deserve and not giving us what we deserve. So think about it. This is the love of God demonstrated. So all accountable souls should recognize and respond to the ultimate agape love of God. Biblical agape love is not just an emotion on our part, but it is purposeful behavior based on a knowledgeable decision. In other words, we need to know the will of God to make a knowledgeable decision. And this is more than emotion. John, the apostle of love, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made it very clear that agape love is from God. If we study 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, we'll find agape love 11 times in the noun form and 7 times in the verb form, agapu. So that's a good passage to study, but since our time is moving on, I want us to go to the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Here, we need to understand what really a biblical definition of agape love is. Now, I need to mention this, having lived every aspect of biblical agape love perfectly, Christ is our example. So we always want to remember that. But Paul makes it crystal clear that agape love, in the King James charity, the word charity is used, is far superior to the temporary miraculous gifts. If you look at verses 1 through 3 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what do we see? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we need to get the point. And of course, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Verse 8, where there be tongues, miraculous speaking in languages that's never been studied, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, miraculous knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the perfect liberty of law, the law of Christ, when that is come, the complete revelation of God, then that which is in part shall be done away. So let's appreciate that. So let's go now to verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. We'll start there, and we'll study this under the heading, Only Agape Love Can Overcome Evil. And here is where the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, describes agape love by what it does and does not do. What does agape love, what it does, we'll start there first. It suffers long. Notice that. Under the heading, here again, only agape love can overcome evil, we need to patiently endure evil. That's right. In 1 Corinthians 9:12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul was an apostle, but he had to suffer things. Shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, left for dead, stones, so forth. So, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and all men. So, charity suffers long. Agape love is what we're speaking of here. And something else that agape love does, it's kind. Not just to those who are kind to us, but those who mistreat us. Ephesians 4:32 certainly applies. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now when we refuse to speak to our brethren, are we practicing agape love? What if God treated us like we sometimes treat one another? Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? Well, here's another one, verse 7. Agape love, what it does, it beareth all things, endures life's wrongs and adversities without complaint. Philippians 4:11-12, Paul, by inspiration, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Something else agape love does, believeth all things, still in verse 7, not being gullible nor compromising of the truth, but it takes the kindest view on men's actions and circumstances. And also, it's called giving people the benefit of the doubt. That's what it can be called. Joseph said to his brethren, notice Genesis 44, verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Proverbs 10:12, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin." Agape love, that is. 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things have fervent charity," agape love, "among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Luke 23:34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Here's another answer to what does agape love do. What does it do? Well, it hopeth all things, still in verse 7, eager expectation of repentance, as Paul hoped that the Corinthians would repent of their sins. 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Something else that agape love does: endureth all things. We're still in verse 7. This is a military word, which means to abstain an assault. 2 Timothy 2:10 applies. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Hebrews 10:32 also. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Now let's turn our attention to what agape love does not do. It envieth not, going back to verse 4. Moses is a good example of one who was free from envy, Numbers 11:26-29. And so is John the immerser, John 3:26-30. He stepped back when Christ came forward. Something else that agape love does not do: it vaunteth not itself, still in verse 4. "Look at me, I'm really something." Well, that's an example of vaunting oneself, isn't it? It means to parade oneself. And an example of this would be Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, verse 9. Before he obeyed the gospel, he really thought himself something. Something else agape love does not do: it is not puffed up. We're still in verse 4. When one has agape love, he will not be arrogant, swelled up with pride because of knowledge or a position of authority or wealth. Study John 13:1-5, Acts 12:21-23. But let's go on. What agape love does not do, verse 5, it doth not behave itself unseemingly. Unseemingly is rude, without sympathy, and not being concerned how one's conduct or manners may hurt or be offensive to someone else. The woman who washed Jesus' feet had agape love, but Simon the host did not realize it. This is Luke 7:44-47. What agape love does not do, it seeketh not her own, verse 5. Not selfish, but rather is happy in the happiness of others. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many," Matthew 20:28. Romans 12:10 applies. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Philippians 2:4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Something else what agape love does not do? It is not easily provoked, verse 5. It does not easily lose its temper, as we see in Matthew 26, 62 and 63. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. How was he speaking to God in the flesh? Jesus was not easily provoked. 1 Peter 2:23, Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Something else that agape love does not do, thinketh no evil, not keeping an evil thought or deed in our memory. And therefore we would not keep a record of evil things for the purpose of returning it. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Well, notice one other thing. Agape love does not rejoiceth. No, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 6. It does not take pleasure in seeing sin committed, nor the tragic results of how sin causes lives to suffer so greatly. It doesn't take pleasure in that. Romans 1:32, Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I wish we had time to go on. But something else, it never faileth. That's what we need to understand there in verse 6. But we're not finished. We want to continue, Lord willing, next week our study of love, a gift from God. And this morning, if you're not prepared to meet God on the day of judgment, come and let us study together, and we'll assist you in obeying the gospel after you learn that you must hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and repenting that must be done of one's sins, getting out of a sinful life and doing the will of God. And then one is ready to be announcing before others, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That's making the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Now, one is ready to be baptized, and that means immersion. Going under the water is a burial, contacting the blood of Christ, coming up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-6. And then the Lord will add us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death, and we will have the victory. We stand ready to assist anyone in studying further and obeying the gospel. What more important thing could we do? This is not something to put off and delay. We need to respond, arise. Ananias told Saul, Why tarest thou? What are you waiting on? And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord as he's baptized into Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.